Joshua chapter 4. You know, we're studying through Joshua on Sunday evenings. And I found something else back there in chapter 4 that I want to share with you pertaining to the memorial stones. Do you remember the memorial stones? God instructed Joshua to erect two memorials to help them remember the miracle that was done where? Crossing the Jordan River. And you remember there were two piles of stones that were to be set there in order. One in the river and the other where?
Gilgal.
At Gilgal. Their first night in the Promised Land would be Gilgal. And you remember they would go in and out of Gilgal. So that every time they came back, they would be reminded of that miracle at the Jordan, the supernatural event that took place to bring them right into the Promised Land. 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, 12 at Gilgal. Chapter 4 and verse 7, the latter part of the verse says, "And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And so we ask today, is it okay to have memorials? I think I asked that question when we were going through chapter 4 some weeks ago. And I said that in Exodus chapter 4 and chapter 20 and Leviticus chapter 26, the Lord gave specific command that they were to have no graven images, right? And so they could not worship idols. They weren't to worship objects. And yet, it is inferred in Scripture that the works of God should serve as some type of memorial, something to cause us to remember His faithfulness, His praiseworthiness. And so that's the idea here. He's not having them worship some rocks, right? They don't go and bow down to the rocks. They look at the rocks and they remember what God did. Is it okay if we do that then? If we have something that reminds us of what God has done. And I said to you back then, yes, I think it is okay. Matthew Henry, that old commentator, says of these two memorials, he says, the works of the Lord are so worthy of remembrance, and the heart of man is so prone to forget them that various methods are needful to refresh our memories for the glory of God, for our advantage and that of our children. God gave orders for preparing this memorial. I think that's a good comment. That's the way. I said to you several weeks ago, we ought to make memorials of lots of things. My wife and I are enjoying our 2009 Toyota Corolla. We felt like God just blessed us with that car. It was better than what we had. And we got it sort of by His intervention, we were able to get it. And it's just been a great car for us. And every time I see it, occasionally we'll be riding down the road and one of us will say, "Boy, I sure thank the Lord for this car." That happens often. We thank the Lord for our old Tacoma pickup truck. We thank the Lord for the heat in the home. Things ought to remind us of the Lord's goodness, and we ought to give thanks. That's the idea here. The things that He's done, there ought to be something that triggers our thanksgiving, our remembering Him and giving thanks. Alexander McLaren, his old Scottish preacher, died about 1910, and he had this little outline that I want to share with you tonight. It's not his message, but his outline. Lesson one, he says, for the children of Israel and for us pertaining to memorials is this. Memorials will help us to remember the mercy and might of God. There are three of these lessons, okay? It helps us to remember the mercy and might of God. It's necessary for our children to remember, right? To know the mercy and might of God. Look at verse 21, chapter 4 of Joshua, verse 21. "He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." That's pretty simple, isn't it? We walked through this riverbed. The waters were mounded up on the sides of us, and we walked right through here on dry ground. to come over into the promised land. After this story was told to them, the children would be aware of something God did. Something only God could do. That's good, isn't it? Something only God can do. Well, I wonder, are there things like that in your life? We can do the same thing in our day. We could look back at the Bible and see the things that only God can do. And there are stories. The Bible's filled with stories and their respective memorials of things that only God could have done. And we should tell our kids about these things, the Bible things. But you know, our lives are probably producing many other things that only God could do. I pause to think, has God done something for you that only God could do? Only God could have done this. I saw the hand of the Lord in this. Our memories will help us to teach our children. We need to remember God of the past, what God has done in the past. Our memories will be teaching tools if we're willing to lay aside our own pride and give Him the glory for what's been done in our lives in the past. We dads, we like to tell the adventures of ourselves, making us out to be the heroes. Is that right, men? Don't we like to tell about what happened to us and what we did under these circumstances? I know when I was growing up, my boys used to like to hear the stories of what their dad did when he was young. And probably I failed in this sometimes. Not all the time, I trust. Of bringing in the hand of God into my life. And God did this for me. And making God the hero of our story to our children and to our grandchildren. We ought to do that. Our own memories. Truth is, we add nothing to God's greatness by standing by His side. When God's at work, it has nothing to do with us, really. He did it. We did not do it. He adds everything to us by standing by our side. I can do all things, right? Finish it. Through Christ. I can't do anything on my own, at least nothing of any eternal value, except with Christ by my side. Listen to this little poem. Without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, I know. I know. Without me, you can do nothing, only around zero. Stand by my side, O Master. Then 1 and 0 are 10. 1 and 0 are 10. Stand by my friend and me, Lord. We are 100 then. A little group of 2 or 3 are gathered in thy name. 100 or 1,000 if thou art standing there with them. Stand by the side of each of us, thy servants in the fight. With each new naught, what's a naught? With each new naught, the number grows, the imps of hell take flight. 10,000,000,000,000 an adjustment of our thought. 'Tis the one who stands beside us makes the value of our naught. Did you catch the meaning of that? God is 1, we are zeros. But you put the 1 beside a 0 and the number grows. The more of us nothings He has, the more He can do with us. God is wonderful, isn't He? But it's all of Him and it's not of us. It's also necessary not only to teach our kids about the might, the power and might of God, but we ought to teach, we ought to remember ourselves about the mercy of God and the might of God. I want you to notice the pronouns in verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. So not only does He want them to tell the story for the children, but He wants them to remember about what the Lord did for them personally. The men in camp that night looked to the west. That first night in Israel, they looked to the west and they would have seen mountains. And in those mountains, there were mysterious enemies that would have to be overcome. But they could look over to the east, and what did they see on the east side of the camp? They saw those 12 stones stacked up there. And it reminded them, well, God brought us to here. And God will lead us the rest of the way as we go west into the promised land. God's might put us in Gilgal. God's might will give us the rest of this land. And so it was important for them to have these memorials, to remember what God has done. Brothers and sisters, what has God done in our own lives? The God who brought them through the land or through the river would take them into the land. And though they had seen the miracle themselves, the memorial was important, so they would remember it, so they would not forget. You know, there's no difference in a child who never hears about the mercy and might of God. There's no difference between that and an adult who forgets it, who has seen it but forgets about it. Memorials can help us to remember the mercy and might of God, just like we want to remind our children. Thirdly, and this is still the first point, thirdly, even the unsaved need to know about God's mercy and might. Is that true? We need to replace that battery. Even the unsaved need to know about the mercy and might of God. The first part of verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. You see it? Well, he's still talking about these stones. But how would the people of the earth know what these particular stones meant? How? Feedback. Somebody's got to tell them. Well, it would be an Israelite, right? An Israelite knows, and they would have to tell them. These memorials were object lessons for the purpose of when somebody's here, let's tell them what that means. Can you imagine some Israelite sitting down with the grandchildren of Rahab and telling them? Telling even immediately when some Israelite met the family of Rahab that was saved along with her. Her father, maybe. Sitting down, some old man telling them what those stones mean. The things that happened in our life that God did, they're like those stones. And when we talk, we don't need to be filled with ourselves. We need to be filled with praise to God for what He did in our lives. May I make that a truth that we apply collectively as well? This church is almost 200 years old. In 200 years, God must have done some miraculous things in these four walls. He should be the one glorified. Not us, not anybody that's gone before us. Only the Lord. God does a great work. And we're still here. And 195 years, this church is still here. And the gospel is preached here. And that's amazing. At what this church has gone through in 200 years, I don't even have any idea what it might be. But we're here. And the gospel and the word of God is still loved and appreciated and preached. We live in a day in which there is not much that man can't do, or at least to hear him say. There was another period of time where the Bible says that man could do about anything he would imagine. Do you remember where that was? Where was it?
Noah's day.
In Noah's day, but after that. Tower of Babel, it was actually spelled out in Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. We always think of the people of the past as less intelligent than we. We might be surprised when we know the truth about how things were. Back in those days, man was created with such a mental potential. And as he discovers that potential, it becomes harder and harder for him to give God the credit. Is that right? It gets harder to give God the credit. But if we take the glory for the things that only God can do, then the people of the world will never know that He's merciful and mighty. They won't know that He's the mighty God. So did man put a rocket on the moon? Did man put a rocket on the moon, or did God, by the physical laws that he ordained and maintained? I would say without God's intervention, we would never have had a rocket to put on the moon. Man did not produce the cure for any dread disease. The cure was already there. He just discovered it. God made the cure. Is that how you look at it? It was God. It was always God that did it. Anything good, every good gift, right, and every perfect gift is from above. God did it. We can use our memorials so that our children will remember, so that we'll remember, and so that we'll be able to tell others, look what God did here. Look what God did in my life. Lesson number two, according to McLaren, was these memorials teach us the duty of remembering. I've already touched on that some, but look at verse 21. It says, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know." So first, this is a cultivation of thankful remembrance. Thankful remembrance. It's essential if we're going to maintain our faith. You won't have faith in God in the future if you don't believe God's done anything in the past. We need to remember what God's done in our lives if we expect that we'll continue to have faith. Why would you worship a God who never does anything, never reveals himself by intervention into your life, by giving you peace? Why would we keep believing in a God that did nothing? Well, we wouldn't. So you see, it's important if we're going to maintain faith going forward that we look back and say, wow, look at my life, what God has done. We see dimly as we look to the future because we can't see past the nose on our face. But we got 20/20 vision looking back. What's God done for you? Bringing you together with your mate, allowing you to hear the truth of the gospel, providing our nice warm dwellings, our cars, heat for our house. Have you thought much lately about who God has brought into your life, the friends that you've had in your life? God brought you together so you could encourage one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. Isn't it wonderful what God's done in our lives? Every one of those things needs to be a memorial, and we need to look back and remember them, because if we don't, brothers and sisters, we won't have much faith going forward if God has nothing to do with our past. If I'm the hero of my past, then I'll be the hero of my future too, probably. You follow me? So we need to cultivate this thankful remembrance if we're going to maintain our faith. It's interesting how we remember pain longer than we remember joy. The day I had my wreck in my car, more than the day I bought my car. We remember the day I lost my job more than we remember the day I found my job. We remember those who injure us longer than those who are a blessing to us. The guy who hit us in the mouth in school more than those who showed kindness to us in school. The police officer who gave me the ticket rather than the one who came out to my house one night when I heard something. Why do we focus on the negative? For a Christian, either one of those should result in thanksgiving. If you consider what God says in Ephesians 5, giving thanks always and in all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we ought to be thanking God about the wonderful things that we look back and say, wow, that was great. We ought to also be thanking the Lord for the hardships, because He's used them in your life. Everything you've suffered, God has used it, hasn't He? To build your faith, to make you stronger. You wouldn't be who you are without the valleys. We can even look back and thank the Lord for that. Lord, You were with me through that dark valley. I praise Your name. And we could tell people about that and how I didn't go through there alone. As we remember the past, we must be drawn to the same rejoicing that Israel felt when they, as the waters rushed back together at the Jordan River. We need to remember that feeling that we had of praise and worship of God. What a mighty God we serve. We can't allow the past mercy and might of God to be buried in our self-pity. We can't forget the mercy and might of God. The psalmist sort of nestles this whole idea in between hope in God and obedience to His commandment in Psalm 78 and verse 7. It says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, and keep His commandments. 78:7 Psalm. And it's nestled right in the middle of those other. Hope in God and keeping His commandments. Well, in between that, don't forget what He's done. Secondly, here, the cultivation of thankful remembrance is essential if we're going to propagate our faith, if it's going to be passed on to others. When your children, verse 22, when your children shall ask their fathers, then ye shall let your children know. You see it? Verse 22. You shall let your children know. When I was growing up, I can remember oft times asking my dad, what is that? And he would say, well, that's there to make little boys ask questions. I said, well, I'm asking a question. What is that? God has parents to build memorials to help their children ask the right question. Dad, where'd you get that? Have I got a story to tell you? And God is the hero of that story. So we're not going to maintain our faith unless we have this thankful remembrance, right? Nor are we going to propagate our faith, or we're going to pass it on to our children and our grandchildren, unless we have this thankful remembrance of what? Of what God did in our life. Pretty simple, isn't it? We need memorials. We need to cultivate thankful remembrance of what God has done. Number three, lesson number three, according to McLaren, is these memorials teach us, or the story of these memorials teach us, the danger of forgetting. Look at verse 24, the latter part of the verse. It says, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Several times in this period of time, and before, with Moses even, that the children of Israel were reminded, don't forget the Lord. It was before they went to the promised land, because the Lord knew they would have it better there. They're not living in tents, they're living in walled cities. They're not eating manna off the ground, but they have their own vineyards and olive trees and so forth. And He knew that it would be easy for them to start patting themselves on their back and forget that He's mighty and He's merciful. And so He said, and I'll read a couple of these verses. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Every time you hear about this not forgetting, the incentive, the motivation for that is you need to fear God. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 8, 14 and 19. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. So this glue that will allow these lessons will keep these lessons from slipping away. I don't want to let go of what God's done because I fear the Lord. I want to remember it's Him. Because if I forget what the Lord's done and I start patting myself on the back and I start stealing the glory, God is to be feared. That's a sin for me to steal the glory of my God. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is used many times in the Scripture. I counted 67 times, I think it was. Jethro, talking to Moses back in Exodus 18. Moses gave the same instruction to the nation in Deuteronomy 6 and then in Deuteronomy 8. 14. Solomon said the same thing. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Solomon's great conclusion of the matter, what was it? Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Fear the Lord. Fear has two connotations in the Bible. One is respect. The other is terror. Both apply. God is to be feared. God is to be feared. Is there no fear of God in our hearts these days? That's a good question. If not, you and I are very likely to forget about what He's done. Why? Because there's no fear. The fear of God is what keeps these remembrances active and alive and vibrant in our memory. We look back because we fear God. We don't want to forget Him and leave Him out of our lives. That would be detrimental. That would be bad. So lesson number one, God is merciful and mighty. We learned that from the memorial stones. Lesson number two, we learned the duty of remembering. And lesson number three, the danger of forgetting. Again, the lesson comes, or the outline comes from Alexander McLaren. Not all of the thoughts that I express tonight, but give Him credit where credit is due. Don't forget the Lord your God. I wonder if we could just take just a minute here and recall in just a sentence or two, praise God for this in my life. Can you think of anything that you'd like to say? All right, I'll put this into practice right now. I praise God for something, some big event in your life where He saved your life, perhaps. Anyone?
I praise the Lord for my cancer.
Yeah. And bringing you through that. Anything else? Amen. Don't want to forget that was God, do we? Anything else?
Praise the Lord for my wife and for her testimony that led me to see the truth and be saved.
That was God.
That was God.
That was God that did that. Someone else?
I praise the Lord just for my salvation.
Amen. Daryl?
Jobs I got, and it was Christians, through Christians that I got it.
Amen. God did that. I fell 20 feet out of a poplar tree and landed flat on my back on hard ground. And I stood up and walked away from it. I was so surprised that I was not hurt. God did that.
I'll tell you mine someday. It was higher than that.
Higher than that. It's amazing what God's done, though, isn't it? You look back, Mary Jean and I coming together is a sort of miraculous way God gave us and gave us direction. Yeah.
Another one, Pastor, over 2 years now, I fell in the night down flight of stairs onto the cement floor in my basement in the dark, and I broke a wrist and a thumb. Praise the Lord for sparing my life.
Yeah.
That should have been wrong.
Yeah. I had a carload of young people I was riding with. My friend was driving and got hit by a drunk at night, going 100 miles an hour down the highway. Car was on two wheels, went over a bank, and should have rolled over like this. Honestly, people could not believe the car did not turn over. It went down the bank sideways and hit a fence and fell back on its... We all got out of the car and thought, how did that happen? How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. God did that. God did that.
I praise the Lord for our oldest son and for how he got us through the problems that we had with our oldest son.
Amen.
It all worked out for his... He had a plan. He
took
care of it.
Yeah.
It could have been so much worse.
Yeah. God brought me to Maine a year ago.
Amen.
I don't know if you believe it. I know God did it.
I believe
God brought us here. It's what He wanted for us. We can't forget these things, can we? We need to stop and think. They're old hat. Oh, we've talked about that enough. You know, everybody knows. No, bring it up again. Tell us how good God is. Tell us how good God's been to you. You see, that will help us to perpetuate our faith. It'll give us that what we need. And why do we do that anyway? Well, we ought to fear God. And forgetting God is dangerous. We don't want to do that. Very good. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this night. The opportunity to share these thoughts, Lord, one with another. I pray that you would bless them. Even these remembrances, Lord, here at the end of our time together tonight. I just ask that you would use them, Lord, and let them be the spark that ignites a flame in our memories, in our minds as we go forward. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. You are indeed a merciful and mighty God. And Lord, you've proven yourself over and over in my life and in the lives of these, my brothers and sisters. And Father, we look for great things to happen because you're a great God. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.